Good morning. It's time for Khadija and the White Guy. I'm Keith Washburn.
And I am Khadija Hardaway.
All right. Our guest in the studio this morning is Tawana Shepherd, and we're going to introduce her in just a moment. And the eyes of the U.S. have come to Kansas City. Right. This week, we found out that the shooter from Baton Rouge is a man from Grandview, Missouri, here in Kansas City. And then we had a very tragic thing happen in Kansas City, Kansas. And Tawana works quite a bit in Kansas City, Kansas, with the shooting of the police captain over there. So, Khadija, what are your thoughts?
I think we're in chaotic times right now. I mean, you know, it's kind of hard to measure when we will come out of this. You know, it's one of those things that in my mind, sometimes I say this too shall pass. But however, you know, over last summer, it didn't pass and we're still here. So I just kind of feel kind of at odds about the whole thing. But I want to give you a little bit more background about Tawana. She's a social worker for the state of Kansas. And right now she's working with the summer program over in Kansas City, Kansas. I think this is the first year, and it is called the Mary Ann Flonder STEAM Program. STEAM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Arts, and Math. She works with young men and work closely with them along with the police department and some other community partners to help these young men be productive citizens in the world. Tawana, I think, has a lot to say on the subject of the cop being murdered over the last couple of days. I think she knew him personally, and let's just start there. Tawana, if you want to give us a little bit more background about yourself, and then we'll just dive right in with some questioning.
Okay. Thank you for having me, first of all. I have been a social worker for about 23 years in several states, but most of my work has, in the past 18 years, has been in the Kansas City, Missouri greater metropolitan area, specifically on the Kansas side. I have worked in the school districts. I have worked with housing, with homelessness. Mostly, though, I recently, in the past probably 8-9 years, have chosen to focus mainly on the children and families of disenfranchised communities.
Okay. Tawana, if you could tell me a little bit about how you felt about the country and where it was at before the Kansas City, Kansas police officer got shot.
Well, I mean, we even before this most recent tragedy, we were obviously in tumultuous times. It's very tense. The tension is palpable, and we are definitely at a state of I believe we're at a state of emergency. It may be a low hum or a medium level hum, but there's definitely a sound, and it's not a good one. The communities are crying out for change. So I think that there's a lot that can be said. There were already things in place. We've been in a state for long before these incidences basically hit us here in the area. I think they're a spillover, and if something isn't done, it's going to get worse.
So, you know, my fear is always that it could hit close to home. You know, it's here in Kansas City, you know, our hometown. Well, you work in Kansas, there's a border, but we're family. And for me, it's always that fear of how close it can get. You know, will it be my brother? Will it be my dad?
Yes.
Will my
yes.
uncle? And even, you know, when I consider the police force, I have a lot of police officers who are my friends. I consider them true friends. And to know that their lives are at risk, it just brings about more stress on everyone. So, you know, with you losing someone so close to you, being a cop, how do you feel now?
Nervous, in a sense. I mean, I think that's the first word that comes to mind. Frustrated, though, definitely. I have even more of a righteous anger. Just simply because of the actual moment that the act took place, we were in the midst of instructional time, and our specific officer, we watched him, you know, have to respond in the midst of instructional time, in the midst of a normal day, or what we hoped would be a normal day of instruction. Our officer that is over the KCK OK program is with our boys all day, all throughout the day. He's a vital part of our program. And again, having that happen and him be right there and watch his entire physiological and emotional response. I mean, he was very professional, but at the same time, it was difficult. It was like, I mean, all the color left his face suddenly. And I mean, at first I thought something was maybe wrong with his family, a family member. And then having to watch him leave and finding out why moments later, we separated the boys into another room, and finding out why moments later, then it became really, it's hard to put words to it, because he had to immediately go to the scene.
I think one of the things that I love about this is I want our listeners to really get an idea of when it does hit close. Mm-hmm. So she was right there with the police officer when the news came in. And for any of us that can imagine what his family feels like, what his close friends, and there are a lot of people that love this man in the community of Kansas City, Kansas.
Absolutely.
So this is, you know, when we think, oh, well, you know, this is just another cop that got killed and, you know, they're all evil anyway. This man has family, friends, and, you know, as far as we can tell, a wonderful human being who is now gone.
Absolutely.
Well, the one thing that we need to make a point of is, and make people realize, is that there's no sides to this thing. Like, you can't take a side to, at this point, we have to come together for unity in the sake of people who are innocent, you know, just losing their lives. I'm for Black Lives Matter. I would admit that. I'm also for All Lives Matter. I'm for Blue Lives That Matter. And with this melting pot of violence happening, you know, I have to say it's time to kind of like focus more in on all the things that are going on. We want everybody to have an opportunity to join this conversation and ask Ms. Shepherd some questions or comment to whatever she's saying. So if you want to join us, call in at 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-5534.
Also, would remind our listeners that we've got a special edition of Democracy Now! Coming up tomorrow. So today, immediately following Khadija and the White Guy, you're going to hear Between the Lines. It usually airs on Friday, but it'll be on today, immediately following our show, because tomorrow Amy Goodman is having a two-hour episode of Democracy Now!
So just to kind of give a foundation of why you would be so hurt and working every day, tell us about the day-to-day task of this program, the summer program you're running with. Is it just young men, or is it both young men and women?
It is just young men.
Okay.
Our particular program in its origins was originally designed for both genders, boys and girls. However, we decided as we got closer and closer during our strategic planning that this pilot year would be best in terms of data gathering to specifically focus on the young men that were with the connected to the OK program, because the OK program is a national 501c3 mentoring program sponsored by the police officer associations. So it's national. So we thought that the data would be a little more consistent if we focused on those young men. Specifically, our program, we work on teaching from an adaptive learning perspective. It's something that is greatly missing in terms of access to kids who are in impoverished neighborhoods. Science, technology, engineering, arts, and math from an adaptive perspective means that you expose the students to everyday situations where those things are being utilized. And it if you think about it, I mean, I'm an adult, and that's how I prefer to learn. And so it's kind of a hands-on, but it's exposing them to areas where science, technology, and so on are being used, and then they have to dig in deep and make the connection.
So, okay, the OK program is a program sponsored by the police. Where do these youth come from? Are they troubled youth? Do they have a family history? Or what is the deal with the young people that you service?
The OK program specifically targets any young man who is in the surrounding school district that wants to be mentored. It is specifically for boys at this point. Just because of the data that they gathered, they figured that was the best place to target. So it is open to any young man in the surrounding school district. So if the school districts want to support, the school district in that area wants to support and partner, then the program is established there.
So actually, what we were talking about earlier is this is a potential program like many others that is helping the next generation, right? This is what
absolutely.
Which we need more of.
Yes, I watch these police officers case manage. If anyone understands what that means, they are going far beyond these.
They're doing your job.
They're doing
part of your job too.
Absolutely,
which is necessary.
It's
nowadays.
Very necessary. Mm-hmm. The Kansas City, Kansas Police Department specifically, I can vouch for how the day to day runs for theirs. We've interacted on the Missouri side, but the Kansas City, Kansas police officers already were working very, very, very rigorously in community policing. Their officers are present in the schools, but they're present in the schools, friendly presence in the schools. I had relationships with those officers years ago when I was a social worker for the USD 500, and there is a definite difference in how they police. They almost become concierge police officers, if you will, to these families. Once they develop a relationship with them, they don't have a problem. If something is going on and they know that that officer is connected to that family school, does that make sense? So if you're at Coronado Middle School and something happens unrelated to any specific child, they'll do their best within, you know, a reasonable amount of time to send the officer that is already connected and has a relationship with that particular
which
area.
Which is great because, you know, that trust barrier thing, it needs to take place. And so I believe the program is probably one of the better ones. My question to you is, you know, in light of the murder of a cop, do you think that would put a damper on your program? Do you think that would change the mentality of some officers that are working with you? I would hope not. And, you know, there's a saying that the devil's always busy when there's something good and something start to take off the ground. But we are dealing with reality of what people perception is.
I will tell you that actually it has lit a larger fire underneath them. One of our field trips that was already planned long before the spotlight was going on, long before these more recent incidences, even across the country, we had a field trip planned where our boys would tour the police department. And during that field trip, I was pulled to the side by various individuals who are in higher up positions in the department and simply asked, what can we do? How can we improve upon this? They were speaking on the community policing. What, from your standpoint, the ones that knew that I was connected to the community as a social worker and had worked with some of the officers years back and had a very positive relationship with them, they just wanted to know from myself and my partner, Adrian Robertson, who is an established pastor and community activist over in the KCK area, what can we do to improve upon this? In light of what is going on right now, how can we strengthen this program? How can we strengthen these relationships in general? So what we need are men to step up, because that's who services helps to service the OK program as mentors.
So how would a young man or, you know, gentlemen get in touch with you in order to become a part of your program to help be a solution to the problem?
Well, they could call my phone number. I can give that on the air if you would like.
Sure, you bet.
Okay, it's 816-835-2449. Again, that's 816-835-2449. And I could personally connect them with our officer, Jonathan Westbrook, who is over the KCK OK program.
Do you guys have a website?
There's also a website for the OK program where you can make connections. Wherever you're listening to this at, you could be passing through town today and hear this. You can connect with an OK program officer liaison. If you pull up the website, it will specifically guide you in your area.
And what's the website again?
It's the OK program.
OK program. Yeah. Dot
com? Sources, okprogram.org.
O-R-G, okay. Yeah, same as like listening in here, kkfi.org. All right. And by the way, you can listen to our program when you're out of town anytime by getting on the website, kkfi.org. I want to say one more thing is we need some callers to talk about some solutions to the recent shootings, both the ones of the black men in Baton Rouge and up in Falcon Heights, but also, you know, Dallas, now Kansas City. There was a shooting down in Miami of an innocent, totally innocent man who was a, you know, a worker just trying to help, you know, a person that had some, I guess...
he was autistic.
He was autistic and got shot by a policeman.
Yes.
Totally by mistake, obviously. And, you know, so if you've got some thoughts on that or anything else that's happened this week, the number again, 816-931-5534.
I do want to raise a point about those kind of situations. Is that the perception of the person who initiates the call, you know, has to be better.
Absolutely.
The call came in that there was a man with a gun making suicidal threats. Like he was going to kill himself. This is an autistic man that was carrying a toy truck around. I don't know. I see colors. I see shapes. I see everything that is around me. And I can tell a gun from a toy truck. And in a lot of these instances, you know, you have people making these calls and escalating the police. There ought to be some kind of consequences for those people that make those calls.
Absolutely.
In. And there is nothing being threatened. There is no crime being committed. And a person almost loses their life, or they do lose their life. There ought to be a consequence for that caller that calls in and says there's a problem and there's nothing going on. I mean, I think that's the biggest issue right now, is that people are making these random calls to the police to incite them.
Yeah, really good point. Yeah, and of course, the police doing their regular job, you know, they've got all kinds of drama day after. It's like, you know, call after call after call. And what's the new drama? And now they get a call about a guy with a gun, right? So they're coming out there ready to, you know, intervene.
And one of the things some of the other police chiefs and the people who are responsible for their professional development, that's one of the other things they're really wanting to tweak. Is their own personal, I know you're talking about from a citizen standpoint, mm-hmm. but you also have the dispatch person who is, you know, connected to the police department, and how those calls are disseminated is directly affected a lot of times by professional development or the lack thereof.
Yeah, but I
know,
can see the dispatcher having a hard time telling whether or not this is a, you know, emergency or not. If someone
Correct.
Calls and says, you're waving a gun, you're going
right.
to kill yourself. You
That's,
know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's
you're right. There should be some accountability. There are people who are intentionally stir the pot. I believe they've been waiting for this climate to be created.
Absolutely. Just to get back to your program,
mm-hmm.
Are you focusing on all five components of your program? And we have a caller, so you don't have to make that it.
Just briefly, yeah. What are all five components, which would be, if you would say them again?
Science, technology, engineering, arts, and math.
All right, we'll come back for that, a little bit more about
right.
that. And we have a caller on the line right now. If you would, go ahead, caller. You're on the air, your name, and what area of town you're calling in from.
My name is David. I'm calling from Zona Rosa.
All right, David, thanks for calling in this morning. What's your question or comment?
Well, my comment was, and I didn't catch her name, she was saying that the callers are setting people up to die. I don't think it's the callers, because the caller can make a 911 call because they're afraid. It's the police dispatcher that's making the mistake. Somebody calls in and they think somebody has a gun in their hand. Fine. They're calling a 911 dispatcher. That person needs to be trained to make an assessment of whether the person on the line is you know, hysterical, or if, you know, that's where that breakdown is coming in. I think the situation in Ohio where the young boy was shot, again, the guy at the park said he had a gun, and the little boy did have a gun. But somewhere the disconnect was that was a 12-year-old boy. You know, it wasn't an adult male with a gun. It was a little boy with a toy gun.
Now, this is a good point.
So you think
really
the dispatcher is not given the opportunity to, or not asking enough questions to make an assessment. They're just taking the call for what it is and just sending it to the police officer.
Yeah, I think the 911 dispatchers are not trained well enough to assess what's going on.
And that's where
a big part of the breakdown is.
Right, which was one of the points that I had made, that I was saying that they are also, at least the specific departments that I'm connected to, they are very, very interested in improving their training for reasons like that.
We have another caller. Would you?
Actually, yeah, David, thanks for calling in this morning. Okay. So, yeah, we did have another caller. We lost him. So, caller, if you would call back, that'd be great. Yeah, David makes a good point. I mean, there's a lot of people along the line that need to, you know, kind of calm down and, you know, make sure they've got the facts right before they send a cop out there to, you know, expecting somebody with a gun, right?
Correct.
Right.
In this case, what was it? A toy truck down in Miami, right?
Right. And you know, the other thing is the training of the, you know, when you're dealing with people who are mentally ill.
Exactly.
You know, I think that those situations often are misjudged.
Oftentimes, and that's one of the main, a lot of the places that I've been called to speak to over the past couple of weeks has been specifically because that is my main background, my area. I am also in private practice as a mental health therapist and have worked in the field for a long time. And that is one of the biggest gaps that I see, that we all are seeing now. We're thinking about if you take the mental condition of the individuals who have done the shootings intentionally, who have shot the police officers, there's clearly a mental illness issue there that is not being addressed. And so that is another very, very major area that we have to do better with.
Okay, I think we have our caller back. Caller, you're on the air. Tell us your name and what area of town you're calling in from.
This is Jim from Kansas City, Missouri.
All right, thanks for calling in this morning. What's your question or comment?
They were saying that the two black guys that assassinated those cops were suffering from post-traumatic stress, and I was saying some of them cops are suffering from post-traumatic stress also. That's why they be so stressed out when they come up and you know, and their emotions are all wired, unwired, and unglued, and you could tell a lot in their tone of voice and everything, how they talk to you. So I'm just saying, it goes both ways for the citizens and the cops.
Absolutely.
That's
Thank
true.
You,
that's
Dale, you make a very good point.
Yeah, thanks for calling in this morning.
Do you want to say something to
that is absolutely correct. Again, when I say we need to do better, I mean as a community, as a society, we have got to do better in terms of supporting mental health access. It's just tragic and trifling, honestly. I can say from both a citizen standpoint, being on the other side with clients trying to access services, who are in impoverished neighborhoods, or people now who just can't actually afford health care. This is no longer a poverty issue, but if anything affects the middle class or upper, you know it's going to annihilate those who are struggling.
Yeah, well, we just want to say we've got about 4.5 minutes left. Mm-hmm. Our guest is Tawana Shepherd, and we're talking about the recent events in Kansas City and elsewhere. And if you want to make a comment, now's the time to call, because what happens, we get some people that call like at 9:28. We just can't get you on that late. So again, the number.
You only got like 30 seconds.
Yeah, 816-931-5534.
You know, we talk about this mental health issue. And, you know, a lot of mental people have social workers. They have loved ones that are connected to them. But a lot of them are just throwaways. And I find that when they're on medication, you know, some people say they have a choice in whether or not they take the medication. I don't know. I'm not. My theory is that they really don't. But I think when it comes to that, we're not checking each other's back enough.
Correct.
You know, and we're just casting away those who are mental.
The thing that happens when you're dealing with disenfranchised individuals, we've had those populations for years, there is definitely a sense of whether or not it's worth it, they're worth it. And when you look at a person who struggles with support, period, you're going to see somebody who doesn't have the support to hold them accountable, to give them what they need in terms of accountability. Even if someone is having good results from medication, for instance, or not, the whole thing is having somebody be there to support them where they can know what to do if they're not having good results from, let's say, medication. Do they have the transportation that they need to make their therapy appointments, mm-hmm. the doctors that are there to follow up with them, all of those things? There's a huge population that is overlooked, and they need the support, but there's a huge part of it has to do with access. There are many individuals who just don't have access. They're on waiting lists because those who qualify for state-sponsored, you know, medical insurance, there's not enough providers. Providers aren't being paid. It goes on and on. So we have to do better in terms of creating, removing barriers to access to quality mental health services.
Tawana, would you give that number and your information again for someone who is interested in
And then we've got
us.
Two callers, actually. So give that number one more time, your number.
816-835-2449.
All right.
816-835-2449.
All right. Two more callers. We're going to try to squeeze them both in. If you could be brief with your comments, you're on the air.
Hi. My name is Christina. And hello?
Yes, we're here. Yes, you're on the air, Christina.
Okay,
go ahead.
I'm from Liberty. One of the other issues that we have that is very much related to...
No, we lost you. Are you still there?
Yep, she's gone.
All right, we lost our caller. Sometimes that happens to be on a cell phone or whatever. So let's try another caller. Caller, you're on the air. Tell us your name and what area of town.
This is Dr. Evelyn Hill.
Hi, Dr. Hill. How are you?
Hi.
I'm good.
Good morning.
I'm the board president of the Kinsey, Kansas Public Schools, and so I have watched firsthand this program being processed here in Kinsey, Kansas, and they are doing an excellent job. It is excellent to see African-American males mentoring young African-American males, both from the police department, from the clergy, and from even college students. They are doing an excellent job, and I so appreciate seeing the proactive work that this group is doing in our community. Just wanted to say thank you.
Oh, that's so great. And Dr. Hill, thanks for calling in this morning.
She is
an absolute great one over there in KCK as well. So I want to say a shout out to everybody at Avenue of Life and Dr. Hill and so forth. And we have one more caller. Let's see if we can get them on the air. Caller, you're on the air. Say your name and what area of town you're from.
This is Christina from Liberty. One of the things that, are you there?
We are here.
Yeah, we're just getting a lot of static, so make it quick, please. A lot of static.
One of the problems that there is that because of the current Medicaid laws, a lot of the therapists that provide a lot of those services won't take Medicaid as an insurance anymore because they're not getting, there are too many restrictions on how they get reimbursed, or they're
Absolutely.
Not getting reimbursed in a timely manner,
Absolutely.
So they're not taking the insurance of the Medicaid plans.
That's correct.
Therefore, the people that need it the most, which are generally your lower income people, are not getting the service, not because there aren't 100 and some odd therapists in Kansas City that provide that service, because there's only two or three that actually take the Medicaid insurance.
That's correct.
Yes,
yeah,
so
good
great.
Point.
Thank
Very
you for calling
point.
In. And
Thank
thanks
you
for
that.
Being persistent, Christina. I appreciate
Thank
you calling
that.
In this morning. And that's it. We're going to have to kind of leave it there. Final comments, and very quickly, by our two panelists here, Khadija and Doc and Ms. Shepherd.
First of all, I want to give kudos to you.
Thank
I think
you.
You're a very beautiful woman,
thank you.
Both
thank
inside you. And out, and I just have to say thank you for all the work you're doing. It really means a lot to our community.
I just want to say thank you for having me. Please show up to OK Program Saturday Kick It Sessions. Find it on the website or call me. We need you.
Give
yes.
the number out one more time.
816-835-2449.
Oh, thank you again to Tawana Shepherd this morning. Thank you to Mike Murphy, and thank you to Mr. Kareem. And, of course, thank you to my co-host, Khadija.
Toot, toot, baby.
All right. We'll see you next week right here. Don't forget, right after this,